opposite direction.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our healer and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Hi. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Amelia Arthur, one of the newest deacons in the Episcopal Church. And well, thanks. And I'm just delighted to be preaching. I'm going to come down here. I'm delighted to be preaching with and among all of you today. So as this is my first sermon being a deacon, I also thought I would try to do a few things differently. This is the, second sermon, because I preached at 8. Second sermon in which I have preached from the floor of this beautiful space. And the second sermon in which I do not have anything more than this little written set of notes. So we'll see how it goes. I want to begin with a story of a man who I didn't actually know, but who I have heard about for years and years and years. I'm sure that all of you have someone in your life that this story might remind you of. The person I want to talk about is my husband's uncle, Uncle Bill. And Uncle Bill wasn't the traditional uncle in that sense. Uncle Bill was more like a brother to Mike, and was a wonderful, vibrant, joyous member of their family. Uncle Bill was one of those people who always saw life as a glass half full. And not just for himself, but for everyone around him, what Uncle Bill wanted most, I think, was joy and fun. And he was mischievous, and he would play jokes and tricks, and he was wonderful. But Uncle Bill also had this faith, I think, in humanity and in the world and in the goodness of people, and believed deeply in this love that seems to pervade life when we look for it. I've heard stories over the years of all of these times in which Uncle Bill was love, lived faith, had hope, even in situations where most people would not have any sort of hope. And even though I didn't know him, I have been struck by how many stories use some of those adjectives, his faithfulness, his love, his hope, to describe the person that he was and the life that he lived. And I find that it's wonderful that in all of our readings today, faith and hope and love run together and are intertwined in these different ways. Particularly in our gospel story, we'll see that faith and hope and love are paired in really, really wonderful and life-giving ways, which not only give life to the people in the story we hear in Mark, but also proclaim the kingdom of God on earth. So Uncle Bill had this phrase, though, that I don't know if it came up from just one situation or if it was something developed over time, but anytime there were two really wonderful things or two really joyful things or two really fun things that he wanted to do, he never wanted to choose. And so he'd always say, do both. And so that's what we're going to kind of talk about today as we talk about this gospel story, this idea of doing both, of doing love and having faith, of having hope and having faith, of having love and having faith and hope together. So we're going to do both. And this story is one of those stories that kind of does both too, because it really tells two different stories in one. So if you read, if you will, the first story, which is the story of the leader of the synagogue whose daughter is dying, we can read that one story, and then we can read the story of the woman who had been hemorrhaging for years and years and years. So let's start with the leader of the synagogue. So he comes to Jesus, and he falls to his knees, and he begs, save my daughter. He has such love for his daughter and such hope in Jesus' healing abilities that he is willing to kneel at the foot of this man who is passing through town and to say, please, please heal my daughter. And so then we flip over to the story of the woman who has been sick for years and years, and she's tried everything. She's spent all that she could to be healed. And she musters up the courage not to fall at the feet of Jesus, but to at least just touch his cloak. And in typical Jesus fashion, the minute she touches his cloak, he turns around and he says, "Who touched me?" And of course, the disciples, in their typical unbelieving fashion, say, "Of course somebody touched you. You're in the midst of the crowd. There's no way that we would know who touched you." But this woman who has such faith in Jesus and such faith in his power of healing, she comes forward and she says, "I was the one who touched you. I am in such need of your healing." And I can just imagine that maybe she says so much more that this story doesn't tell us, but that she proverbially falls at the feet of Jesus to say, "I was the one. Please heal me." And so he looks at her and he says, "You are healed. Your faith has healed you." And then she goes in peace. So then we go back to the leader of the synagogue, whose daughter all of this time is still sick and is still on the verge of death. And the people come to him and they say, "Don't bother the teacher. Your daughter is dying." Can you hear me now? No? I'll go up there. Pause. Hi. And so they say, "Don't bother the teacher, your daughter is already dead." But when Jesus hears that, he says, "Don't make all that commotion. She's not dead, but sleeping." So just like when Jesus tells the disciples, "Someone has touched me," and they laugh, the crowd then laughs and says, "What are you talking about? She's dead. There's no way that she's sleeping." But Jesus says, no. He says, "Do not doubt, but believe." And at that, he gathers a small group, and he goes to the house of the leader of the synagogue, and he takes the hand of the girl, and he says, "Rise." And she gets up. And then as a good, maybe learning from his good Jewish mother, he says, "Okay, now don't tell anyone and make sure you give her something to eat." Meanwhile, this woman who had been suffering from the hemorrhage has gone in peace and has been healed. So we have these two stories. We have this do both situation where we hear about Jesus's ability to heal. We hear about the kingdom having come near in the form of Jesus and his healing. And in typical Mark fashion, we hear two different proclamations. We hear Jesus on the one hand say, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And then we hear Jesus turn to the leader of the synagogue and say, "Do not fear, but believe." So one is a proclamation and one is a description of the woman's faith. So what I wonder here in this text for us is, what does it mean to receive the proclamation of the kingdom? Do we receive it joyfully in faith and love? Do we receive it joyfully in hope, the way that the woman did, the way that the man whose daughter was healed did at the end? How do we share this proclamation of the kingdom come near in our time now? How will we be and bear the continuation of that kingdom in the world today? As I look around and as I watch the news and social media and as I have conversations with people, I'm struck by the fact that our world needs this message of faith and hope and love ever more deeply. We need to do both, or do all, as Uncle Bill would say. What must we repent of in order to have this kind of belief? What must we let go of to have the kind of faith like that woman, where we might reach out and touch the cloak of Jesus as Jesus lives in our world today? Who would that look like, and what would that be? As I was getting ready for this sermon, I was walking around the cathedral on Tuesday before ordination, and I was struck that there's a picture right on the back of the wall towards the sacristy. And that picture is of a print that was made by Canon John Rutger. And it struck me that it was called St. Mark. And I think it speaks to the faith and hope and love that we are all called to, not just in this, but in all of the stories we hear in Mark. So I want to end as we think about what it would look for us to live with faith and hope and love exemplified in this story with this poem. Can we bear this gospel, full of a world blitzed by sin and sickness, demons and devils, where disciples, inattentive as the heavens open, hardly realize that a new power is let loose now? Can we bear this gospel, full of a Jesus who says a word and scatters the demons, who spits on a tongue and gave a man voice, who raises a dead girl with a handshake, but claims it is your faith that has saved you? Can we bear this gospel, full of a hope, pulling us to recognize the mystery in our midst, asking question after question to lure us to faith? Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? Do you not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Who do you say that I am? May we proclaim who Jesus is in a world that so desperately needs faith and hope and love. Amen.